Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Dr. Tan, with I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast of Tana Ministries. I came before you last night with inspirational nugget on yesterday, which was isolation precedes elevation. And initially, I stated that the podcast tonight would be entitled Does Your Walk Align with Your Talk? But since then, just pondering, I have changed the title to this podcast tonight. It still would cover the same message. But tonight's podcast is entitled, Don't Just Talk Like It, Walk Like It Too. Inspect Your Fruit. Again, tonight's podcast is entitled, Don't Just Talk Like It, Walk Like It Too. Inspect Your Fruit. And so I just wanted to give you a few inspirational nuggets tonight about walking with Christ and how that walk should look. And I, as I was contemplating how to bring the message, I started thinking about a familiar scripture that we are familiar with, and that is Galatians 5 and 22 through 23. And it reads as such. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And those are considered the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I wanted to go back and I read Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but I wanted to go back a little further and I want to read starting from verse 16. So I'm going back to Galatians 5, but I'm going to start at 16 and then I'm going to read through to 25. And it reads, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so when I hear that, that makes me think about character flaws that we all have, or that, and not that we have all of them, but we all suffer from some character flaws, some things that we can personally improve on, work on, to do a self-reflection of ourselves so that we can become better followers of Christ, and we can allow the light of the Lord to permeate on the inside of us so it can be exemplified on the outside to others. And so when you think about character flaws that we deal with as humankind, we have arrogance, we have pride, greed, lust, laziness, envy, anxiousness, jealousy, self-centeredness, narcissism, selfishness, gossiping, gullibility, naive, stubbornness, tactless, vain, hostile or aggression, bitter, dishonesty, manipulation, hypocrisy, judgment, inconsideration, being possessive, quick-tempered, anger, vengefulness, abusiveness, cruelness, disloyalness, sadistic, being remorseless, destructive, impatient. And when you think about it, you have some people that don't respect personal boundaries or other people's personal space, or they're always in their business. So you have covetousness as well. And so you got all, and those are just some that I listed. So you got all these different character flaws that as individuals, we have to identify those things that are not like him so that we can be, work on them with his help to become better. And because the fruit of the Spirit is what was listed earlier, it did not one time did you hear a fruit of the Spirit listed. What you heard was flaws that mankind face, because the fruit of the Spirit, again, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so those are the character traits that we want to exemplify. Those are the character traits that we want working in our lives. We want to work on our character flaws so that we could become better today than we were yesterday. And so some good character traits would be honesty, integrity, compassion, respect, responsibility, courageousness, kindness, humbleness, meekness, loyalty, patience, being optimistic, confident, resilience, thoughtfulness, genuine, generous, loving, empathetic, considerate, conscientious, understanding, respectful, respecting other people's boundaries, and encouragement, being an encourager. And as again, I said, those just a few that I named. There's so many more positive or good character traits. And so we want to replace the negative character traits or our negative character flaws with those positive character traits. And so when we do that, what happens is it begins to work on us. We become better. We can do better. Our response is different. And we can work alongside others. Our response does not take us out of character. Now, let me just say this, because I think a lot of times when we talk about certain characters, confidence, some people are very confident, and there are times, and so we have to be mindful that when we, not that we're looking to judge people based on their character flaws, because we all have them, but we have to be mindful that when we are looking, or we have observed a certain type of character flaw, that we are not so judgmental that we overlook our own, and that we're not looking at their character flaw from a place of jealousy or envy, or maybe, you know, whatever it is, because 9 times out of 10, If a person is jealous or envious of another person, they're going to always find an issue with them. And so let me give you an example. So the example of confidence. Some people are very confident, but if you already do not like them for whatever reason, then their confidence to you might seem arrogant. And so we have to just be mindful that we are giving people, when we are observing their character traits, good or negative, that we're not being biased, that we're treating them the same way we want to be treated when it comes to examining the fruit that we see, and not just making misconceptions or assumptions that a person is one way or the other when we have not went to that person or dealt with that person on a particular level. Because scripture tells us that if you have aught with your brother, says you're supposed to go to that person in private first before you make it public. And a lot of times as a society, we don't do that. When we have aught with our brother, we go straight to Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media platform, and we want to voice it out to everybody. And now you got everybody in your business, and you could have just went to that person one-on-one, dealt with it, and been done with it. Whether you and the person were able to rectify the situation or not, we don't have to always publicize every disagreement. And I think that because of the heightened or the increased amount of social media, people going live and having these different platforms and you know, for whatever reasons that they're doing it, it's nothing wrong with it to go live. I'm just saying that the way the platforms are being used, it's a lot of negativity being pushed out, where you see a lot of disrespect, conflict, people fighting, arguing. And so that is not a fruit of the spirit, to be a part of something of that nature where you're also promoting that type of behavior is not a good character trait. That's not a fruit of the spirit, because remember, God said he's not the author of confusion. So if we're going to be godly, we would not be sharing or partaking in something that would be tearing someone down. Now, I also want to make another statement, because that does not mean that as a human, we can't step outside of our character, because we're not perfect. But I would like to say this. If 9 times out of 10, if you're looking at a person in their character, if 9 times out of 10, they always do the right thing, and then one time out of the 10, they stepped out of character, it is safe to say that that particular person is genuinely a good person and they had a bad day. We all have them. We can't label a person based on one bad day. Because if that was the case, every last one of us would be considered a bad person. And so we have to be mindful to not, because somebody stepped out of character one time, or they responded in a way that was not, you did not feel like that was appropriate, we got to give everybody grace, because everybody makes mistakes, or they sometimes make bad choices. And sometimes people might get beside themselves depending on the situation. You're human. Does it excuse it? No. But you have to look at their character, their history. How do they normally react? How do they normally respond? Excuse me. What type of person are they most of the time? Now, on the flip side of that, if a person 9 times out of 10 is always in something, maybe they're always causing conflict or confusion, then you can determine based on their fruit that this person has some negative character traits, and you might want to be mindful of that company, okay? Because the pattern shows that they 9 times out of 10 are causing confusion or involved in conflict, or they're involved in gossiping or sharing negativity. So you just have to be mindful. Remember, scripture says that bad character corrupts, bad company corrupts good character. And that's 1 Corinthians 5:33. And so we have to be mindful of the company we keep. lot of times we think that we can, you know, be around people that are doing things that they shouldn't, and we can maintain. I'm not saying that you can't, but a lot of times what happens is the enemy is always busy. And I think that a lot of times we are involved in certain relationships, whether it be personal, personal business relationships, your work environment, where we end up connecting with people based on trauma bonds. And what a trauma bond is, you have a certain event or experience that connects you. And just because you have a connection with someone does not mean it's a godly connection, because the enemy also sends smoke screens. The enemy also sends connections. I am a firm believer that, you know, the enemy is going to try to attack first. He's going to try to have you to think that whatever is in front of you is what God sent. Now, you got to understand that everything that is good is not of God. So what that means is you have to pray and seek God, because the enemy knows how to try to bless you too and make it appear as if it's from God. So you have to be mindful of how you interact, and then you have to be mindful of the things that you do, and as far as the choices you make. So that's the reason why Thessalonians tells you to pray without ceasing, because in every situation, every aspect of your life, you need to be seeking God to determine, is this what I need to do, Lord, or do I need to do something else? Is this a godly connection, or do I need to be friendly and maintain a distance? Because we cannot see, we can't look at a person and tell who they have made the head of their life. But if you try to spirit by the Spirit, and all the way you can do that is to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You didn't sup with him. You pray daily. You're dedicated to kingdom building. You're reading the word. And so when you do that, God speaks to you. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you guidance to how to handle every situation that you ever would encounter. It tells you, I believe in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says that God has provided an escape. There's no temptation uncommon to man that God has not provided a way of escape. In other words, there's never going to be a time that you will be entangled in something that God cannot provide a way of escape. But in order to do so, we have to allow him to lead. We have to allow him to guide us. So we have to be mindful of that. The next thing I want to just talk about is, you know, what is the purpose of the fruit? And so, you know, in the Bible, the word fruit is mentioned, I believe, over 60, 70, sometimes somewhere in between there, approximately. But it doesn't always mean the same thing. But the fruit that I'm talking about now is, we're talking about it as a reference to something. And so when we're talking about fruit, it's talking about bearing fruit, like to demonstrate God's character. Are you allowing God to influence your life, to allow it to permeate your life? Are you bearing good fruit? So I wanted to go to the parable in Luke chapter 13. Verses 6 through 10, and I'm going to read, excuse me. All right, and it says, and it reads, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. So what was the whole purpose of that parable? The whole purpose was, when you think about your gardeners planting different flowers or whatever they're planting, flowers, crops, you think about that. When you plant, whatever you plant, you expect for it to grow and bear fruit. I don't think anybody that is a farmer or a gardener or that has a garden plants with the intentions of yielding no fruit or no harvest. Because that's what fruit is, essentially, metaphorically speaking, it's the harvest. You know, it talks about in Galatians that you reap what you sow, right? Galatians 6 and 9, I believe it is. So it talks about reaping what you sow. In order to reap something, you have to plant it. And so what it's talking about reaping what you sow is talking about whatever seeds you sow, whatever character you exemplify, whatever you put out is what you're going to get back. You plant the seed, it has to come back up. If we go out here tonight or tomorrow and we plant whatever crop we're going to plant in due season, a harvest going to show. So if you're planting seeds and you don't ever reap a harvest, then something is wrong. Something has corrupted the process. In essence, if you are bearing bad fruit, that means that you are possessing negative character traits. You are not possessing godly traits. You're not walking according to the you're not aligned to the will of God. And so the result of you not walking in alignment to the will of God, not practicing or implementing good character traits, the result is you bear no fruit. There's no evidence that Christ is the head of your life. And that's very important. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to change overnight. That you will change overnight, that I will change overnight, that any of us will change overnight, because that is not ideal. But it's no need to talk about what you are. You should be able to show who you are. If you are a true believer, you don't have to announce to me that you are. Your walk, your life should show me. And you know, that's what's happening now. We got so many people that don't believe, or they feel like the people, Christians or churchgoers, are some of the biggest hypocrites. This is what you hear. And I understand, because sometimes, because we are believers, we have to understand that we are going to be put to the test. We're going to be judged, because the enemy wants to make us out to be someone that is not who they say they are. So it's not really that we're doing it for anybody else, but we're doing it for Christ. We're saying that, hey, we represent you. And every day we have to seek him. We have to deny our flesh daily. We have to die to ourselves daily. And we have to allow God to lead us. It's a daily journey. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has got to that point where they have arrived and they don't need any more help. We all are a work in progress. Thank God that we are better today than we were yesterday, hopefully, because every day we should be growing and improving and just a little bit better than we were the day before. That's the whole purpose. But if in our walk, in our daily journey, if there's no evidence of ascension, there's no evidence of improvement, then we need to go back and reevaluate our fruit, because from 1 month to the next, from 1 week to the next, or from 1 year to the next, there should be some improvement. There should be some evidence that Christ is the head of our life. And Luke 6, 43 and 44 says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit." That's very important. So you know how people say they try to make an assumption about one thing or one person versus another person. Now, this is the thing. Can you hang around people that maybe have some bad fruit? Yes. And 9 times out of 10, what happens is it's very possible that hanging around corrupt fruit will corrupt your fruit as well. It's like putting a rotten apple in a bag with good apples. At some point, that rotten apple will destroy or corrupt the good ones. Think about the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Eve convinced Adam to eat the apple. Now, him doing so was his choice. So we can't, it's not her fault that he did it, but because he had a choice to say no. But guess what? Her influence affected him in such a way that it caused him to corrupt his fruit. It can happen. And so that's why we talked about in 1 Corinthians that do not be deceived, because bad company corrupts good character. If a person's character is flawed to the point where they're making bad choices, they're making these mistakes, they're not trying to change, then you probably want to halt and reevaluate your company. Let's look at the scripture, John 15, 5 and 8. And it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So, he's the true vine. And we are the branches. And as long as we stay connected to him, we will bear good fruit. Scripture tells us that. John 15, 5 through 8. But if we disconnect ourselves from him, if we try to do it our own way, it even said that if you disconnect from me, you can't do anything. That your branch will wither up and die. So when you disconnect from the true vine, when you disconnect from the power source, when you disconnect from the creator of all things, then now your power source is gone. It's kind of like if you plug your computer or your phone into the socket, you get power. It's going to charge it. And if your battery is low, you leave it charged into the charging for a period of time. You'll come back to see that it bear good fruit. It'll get to 100%. But what happens if you plug your computer, your phone, or whatever device you have into a bad socket, a blown socket? What kind of fruit are you going to get? You can let it sit charging for hours, even days. And because there is no electricity getting to your device, it will not charge. Same concept in life. You can't do anything apart from God. If you're trying to make plans and you don't include them, they won't work. If you're trying to do X, Y, and Z, and God is not at the forefront of it, you can kiss it goodbye. It's not going to happen, because God says that he is the beginning and the ending. He says all things are possible through him. But if you're trying to do it with man, they're impossible. So if you disconnect from the true vine, if your connection is not secure in Christ, then your fruit that you bear will be corrupt. Let's go to Matthew 12, 33 and 34, and I'm almost finished. Matthew 12, 33, 34. And it reads, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Says, O generation of vipers, how can ye bring evil? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What type of fruit are you producing? Excuse me. What type of fruit are you producing? People should be able to look at your life, and you should be a living testimony for Christ. For some people, we're the only Bible they will see. They might not ever open one, but every day we can be a witness, a testimony of how God has worked in our lives and is still working in our lives to better us so that we can fulfill the purpose that he has predestined for us. We are the only living Bible that some people will see. It's faith in action is what it's called. We can't tell a person that we have faith. We got to show them. And I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to talk about having faith. It's another thing when your faith gets put to the test, because see, you can talk about a lot of things, but when it comes to show, to put it into action, it's totally different. And so we have to be mindful to make sure that we are walking the walk and talking the talk. We can't just talk about it. We got to walk like it too. We have to inspect our fruit. And it's going to happen. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And that means that the old things that we've done, Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19 talks about old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So all those things that was behind us, Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing toward the mark of the high calling. Yeah, every last one of us has a past, but thank God that he has ordained and predestined our future. None of us have the right to say what a person can or cannot do, because we didn't make them. God did. But what we can do is work on ourselves, pray for those that are dealing with something, going through something, even the ones that have these bad character traits that's possessing the bad fruit. Because I believe that every time we encounter difficult people, that's an opportunity for us to grow in an area so that we don't have to react based on emotions, but we can respond like Christ would. That phrase, what would Jesus do? Jesus would incorporate the fruit of the Spirit in his daily walk. because that's what he did. Let us not allow the cares of the world, the responses of people that are in the world. Scripture says that we are in the world and not of it. Let us not allow the cares of the world, the people that are of the world, to get us out of character. Is it going to be hard? Of course. Can we do it? Yes. Philippians 4 and 13 tell us we can do all things, not some, but all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let God change you, empower you. Let him lead and guide and direct you. Don't just talk like it, walk like it too. My brothers and sisters, inspect your fruit so that God can continue to use you to show the world that even in the chaotic world that we live in today, the light of God still shines, because Jesus is the true vine and we are his branches. And because he has ordained for us to overcome, the fruit that we yield shall be good if we stay connected to the power source. May God continue to bless and keep you. I pray that God covers you all the days of your life, that when you encounter situations that seem too hard for you, that is just right for God, that when you encounter difficult people, people that are plotting against you, talking behind your back, all manners of evil, I pray that God puts in your spirit that he allows you to speak in a godly way, that you would turn away wrath, and that you would allow that person to see that you can't be moved. Scripture says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And so I decree and declare tonight that you will succeed, that you will overcome, and that you will be able to bear good fruit all the days of your life. May God bless and keep you. Until next time, be encouraged and good night.
Wonderful change, y'all remember this, has come home.